Judy Williams. Judy Williams. She's in Columbus. I don't know if she's still in the business or
not. Okay, I can reach out to that company and see what, but I think it's going to be easier if they're just going to review and update.
Yeah. Time to start.
Everybody make sure their microphones are turned on and please speak clearly so we can catch you on the recorder.
Testing.
Thank you.
Oops.
Huh? Yeah.
Well, thank you all for being here. Called meeting to order and do roll call attendance, please.
Susan?
Here.
Joyce?
Absent.
Jalise?
Yes.
Jill?
Yes.
Willie?
Yes.
Ryan?
Yes.
Jason?
Yes.
Great. Thanks. And thank you for being here. Any communications?
We have none.
Okay. The next order of business is election of officers. So I will take nominations for chair.
I'd like to make a nomination.
Okay.
It remained the same.
Okay. And Jill did too. So one of you can move and the other second.
Who was it? Willie and then
you make that motion all second.
Willie and
Jill. I
just made it. Yeah, one. I second.
Got it.
There are any other nominations? Then roll call vote, please.
Susan?
Yes.
Joyce is in here. Jalise?
Yes.
Jill?
Yes.
Willie?
Yes.
Ryan?
Yes.
Jason?
Yes.
Thank you. And,
Susan, congratulations on another year of being chair of the Planning Board.
Yay!
How many years is it? Oh, geez.
1996.
Is it?
Oh, wow.
That's when it was introduced, right? Or was it... Well, than that,
95, 94. No, well, Marty Bodner was actually the first chair. We started working on the groundwork for it in 1990, and I forget how long it took to get a board, but then Marty was the first chair until he was elected law director, and then I became chair. So,
how many years?
Probably close to 30.
Good for you.
So vice chair. Do we have any nominations for vice chair? Jalise is currently our vice chair. She's applied to be council person, and we have to check whether she's allowed to stay on the board or not if she gets selected. I hope you do, but...
I hope so, but,
yeah.
As long as I can help any way I can.
So. Thank you.
Is the floor open for nominations?
Yes, the floor is open for nominations.
Oh, yes, I'd like to nominate Miss McKim.
Oh, jeez.
Second motion.
Jill?
I want to nominate Ryan.
Did we have a second for the nomination for Mrs. McKim?
I second that.
Okay, now we can do another nomination for somebody else.
Well. And Jill, if you don't want to run, you can just say you declined the nomination.
Oh, it's okay. We'll all be here. We're good.
Okay. Any other nominations then? Okay, so.
Thanks, Willie.
So, roll call, please.
Oops. For... Susan?
Yes.
Joyce? Or, no, she's not here. Jalise?
Yes.
Jill?
Yes.
Willie?
Think about it, yes.
Ryan?
Yes.
Congratulations, Jill.
Yes. Congratulations. And Emily just came in. Emily Beck is our new council liaison. And so welcome to the Sarn View Board. I'm glad you're going to be on board, and I have something for you afterwards, so don't leave till I see you. The minutes went out in the packet. I hope you all had a chance to look at them. Any need for additions or corrections? Hearing none, do I have a motion to approve the minutes? Jalise?
Make a motion.
Second. Jalise made the motion. Willie, you can second it.
I'm sorry.
Susan?
Yes.
Jalise?
Yes.
Jill?
Yes.
Willie?
Yes.
Brian?
Yes.
Jason?
Yes.
Great. Motion carried. The next thing that was in the packet and is in front of you and in the packets on your desk is list of meetings. We have to approve the meeting dates for next year, and Stacy pointed out that the meeting on September 8th is going to be in the small courtroom because of Labor Day.
Yeah, we have City Council that same day, so City Council will obviously be in here, and if we have anything on the agenda, we will be in the small courtroom. Yeah. If you guys want to take a look at it, let me know if anything contradicts your schedule. If we're going to not have a quorum, we can discuss changing those meeting dates. If not, this is what it would look like.
So, do you need a minute to look at it, or can we have a motion to approve the dates?
I'll make that motion.
Jill?
Thank
you. Ryan seconds. No conflicts, people? Okay. Could we do roll call, please?
Yep. Susan?
Yes.
Jalise?
Yes.
Jill?
Yes.
Willie?
Yes.
Ryan?
Yes.
Jason?
Yes.
Okay, thanks. The first certificate of appropriateness to come before us is the signage for Game On Arcade, and we have the owner of the business here. I'm sorry, tell me your name, please.
Marvin Porchide.
Thank you. Thank you for being here.
First, just let me start it by passing out a supporting document.
Thank you. Do you want to do the highlights then? Thanks.
So, overview. The applicant, Marvin Orchild, is the property owner of 527 West Tusk. Historically known as the Lusk Block, Mr. Orchild is opening an arcade/game room. The property owner requests a certificate of appropriateness for proposed alterations to the front facade of the business. The proposed changes include two new signs. The first sign is a 10-foot, 10-inch width by 28 inches non-illuminated cabinet sign. The second sign is a 22-foot width by 6-inch height address sign. The building, the historical inventory, is attached at the back. If you want to review the historical nature of this building, known as the Lust Block. Signage is a form of business advertising and thus plays an important role in a commercial area such as downtown Barberton. The sign is used to alert customers to a business's purpose and location. Sometimes overlooked, however, is the image that the sign conveys about a particular business and the downtown as a whole. An effort to attract attention, signage is too often inappropriately timed and placed on downtown buildings. Signs which work well for strip highway development where customers speed by in cars may be inappropriate for the slower traffic flow and scale of buildings in the downtown. Fortunately, historic commercial buildings often provide clues as to the form and location of a public sign should take. During the 1890s and early 20th century, signage was frequently integrated into the design of the storefront or building. Space above the storefront was often reserved for a signboard or for an attachment for a projecting sign that hangs perpendicular to the storefront. Displaced windows were sometimes used for painted window signs and fabric awnings for building signage. Signs such as these contain letters or symbols which give a quick graphic reference to business inside. These signs are successful because they reflect appropriate treatments for a downtown sign, use of quality materials and design pattern and scope, proportional size on appropriate location. Then we're going to skip down to maintenance and repair. Where possible, maintain historic signage that has been painted on building walls. These signs are part of the history and character of the commercial district. Maintain the appearance and structural integrity of your sign. Clean or repaint signs and their supporting structures, and make other repairs as needed to prevent deterioration. When a sign is removed, any mounting or electrical holes that will not be reused should be filled or concealed. Decolorations that exist on the facade from previous signage should be removed. Below are substantive changes. You can go over them if you'd like. I would like to highlight number 11. Sign and graphic colors should take cues from the building and its trim. Bright primary colors are best used as accents, while more subdued colors should dominate. The supporting document that I handed out before is a mock-up of what the proposed signage would look like. Skipping down to the recommendations part, the possible recommendations are: 1. After review, it appears that the requested change to the building will not compromise the visual compatibility. Further, it does not appear that any loss or damage will occur. The planning department recommends the proposed changes to the design review board and recommends the issuance of a certificate of appropriateness. Or, number 2, after review, it does not appear that the requested changes to the building will fit harmoniously within the district. Barberton Design Review Board does not recommend the issuance of the certificate of appropriateness for 579 West Tusk based on the below reasons.
Okay, I do have a few things to add to Mr. Hunt's report. So, Susan and I spoke this morning, and there were some property maintenance violations issued to the previous owner. The letter is from January 5th of 2024. I do not believe that those letters were reissued to the new property owner. So with that being said, we did have a conversation today with Marvin, and he is aware of the violations. One of them you've received in a packet, a letter that was sent in January of last year about those violations, including a picture that we had concerns about when the new sign would be mounted to the building. And Marvin did acknowledge that he is aware of that, and he is in the process of getting that fixed. That will not need to come before the design review board because it is a violation. There's not going to be substantial changes. He's just making repairs to the damaged part of the building, which is going to be permitted as is. So with that being said, the anchors for the signage will be in good repair when he does the install.
So are there any questions or comments? So the area that you're going to replace, the gray, whatever that material... Okay, the part that looks gray in our picture?
Mm-hmm. Yes, yeah, gray.
Okay. What is that going to look like in the future when it's repaired?
I mean, it'll be the same. It'll be basically that same look.
But it's going to, like, right now the edges look like they're not in good condition.
That's all going to be cut out and removed. And it'll be another plan on matching the color of the same of five of the next door too.
Okay.
Because it's to me, it doesn't look very good like it is because somebody just painted that white, painted the one window, and then the next door is brown, which is part of my building also.
Oh, okay.
And I was going to uniform that the same. Because okay. You would not put a white sign on a white piece of wood, I would think.
No. No.
So, I mean, it like I said, that will be cut out. The new piece is going to be put on with commercial, also commercial marine wood.
Oh, okay.
Water resistant wood, too.
Okay. And the raw wood that's up there now, you're going to replace that, or is that just going to be painted, or what?
The bad sections and all that will be cut out.
And what will it be covered with?
What do you mean?
The wood.
Covered with the marine wood, like a painted marine like plywood, the same wood that's like there now. It would be a marine grade wood. It's basically more waterproof. And it's going to be, like I said, the color would be the brown or the tannishes. Match the same as the insurance company next door.
So he's replacing this with like a marine board.
Right.
Which is gonna be one of my rounds.
And this board, this raw wood, that's going to stay just up
top. Yeah, I don't think that there were issues on that one. I think it's okay because that's what all of this is.
Okay.
But if there are rotten pieces, he's going to replace those.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, and I'm sorry. I just want to know. I just want to be sure I understand. So this wood that frames it?
Yes. And it's set back a little. Yeah, this would be, it's going to be the same kind of color. This will be too. You know, we're going to do the, it's going to be a marine wood that's going to be put. This will be the part that's bad, which is hard to see in these little pictures, will be cut out on the bottom and it'll be gone over with the wood.
And some kind of finish on that wood?
Yes, it would be, and like I said, it plans on being this same. Not the dark brown, the same as this, so it'll all be look like uniform. And these will be painted the same, just to make it
all look better. And this background here will be the same color as that background?
Yes. Okay. Yes.
Did you get that?
Mm-hmm.
So, okay.
Same color.
Okay. Thank you for clarifying. I'm a visual person. I have to see things.
Yeah, same
okay.
Color as that.
Okay. I do have one more question. The second sign is what? There were two signs we were approving, weren't we?
Oh, the little small ones, just the year I bought it and my name.
And that's going to be where?
In the middle, up top.
So it says 22 feet, so it's not 22
feet. No, it's not. It's a small sign. I don't know what that 22 feet.
Yeah, it's 22 by 6. So it's similar to, if you go to my picture.
Okay.
Same as this. It's the little.
The name and the date. So there, it's like.
Well, it says Miller 22.
Yeah.
Same kind of sign, we'll say that's that 25.
I'm not looking at the. I'm not finding the right page. I saw it.
Up at the top where it says Miller 22.
Oh, okay.
No, it's the exact same.
Great, thank you.
Yeah. You know what it says?
Yeah.
So, yeah. So
must have made a mistake on that one.
Cool. All right.
Okay.
It's not
22.
No.
Oh, yeah, that's how it is listed on your fast sign as well.
It's 22 feet?
Yeah.
Okay.
By 6 inches, but we can amend that on the floor.
Just make sure that.
What is it?
3
foot, maybe?
2 foot, yeah,
maybe?
It's like, well, yeah, it should be. It's like 36 inches.
Yeah, I think 36
inches. No, it's like 22. Yeah, it's like this.
So it's 22 inches, not feet.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was worried about that myself.
That makes more sense.
Okay. I was just confused, so that's good. Okay. Any other questions or comments? Do we need to make note of that being 22 inches in our list and of approval criteria.
Yeah.
Okay. So, Do a motion to approve this with the amendment of having it be 22 inches instead of 22 feet for the sign. Thank you. And last chance for questions.
Who seconded that?
Okay, so 22 inches on the address sign. Okay. And roll call, please.
Susan?
Yes.
Jalise?
Yes.
Jill?
Yes.
Willie?
Yes.
Brian?
Yes.
Jason?
Yes.
Great. Thank you. And you'll get a letter from Stacy.
From the planning department approving your signage, yes. And then you'll be free to pull your permits with the building department and move on your signage.
Okay. I think he said that they were going to pull the permits. The sign company does that, right?
Yep.
So, thank you. Nice to meet you. Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
Thank you. You too. Thanks. And thanks, Corey. Okay. The second one is you, Holly. It's
High five.
Yes. 125 Second Street, and this is a building that was three buildings originally, and it's one building now, and it's a non-contributing building.
Yes, so we're going to go over this, a certificate of appropriateness for High Five Woodworks at 185 Second Street Northwest. Let's see, this is not listed in the historic inventory. Unfortunately, there is limited information on the property. According to the Summit County records, this property was constructed in 1907 and is roughly 2,400 square feet. Like Susan said, in the 60s, the three properties were combined. The exterior of the building is tan-colored vinyl siding, and this property holds no rural historical architecture. The property located at 185 2nd Street Northwest, 182nd Street, 2nd Street, and 189 is owned by Barberton Realty 1 LLC. The tenant is High Five Woodworks and occupies all three parcels for about a year and a half. Al Horvath is requesting a black steel awning covering the door and window on the 2nd Street Northwest side. The dimensions of the requested awning is 217 by 36 by 24. Some Barberton guidelines. If you're thinking of adding an awning to your building, carefully consider how it will appear in relation to your facade and to the streetscape as a whole. In particular, pay attention to the following materials, shape, color, and pattern, placement, and size, number, and signage. Two, materials. The most appropriate for older downtown buildings are canvas awnings that have been weather-treated prior to installation. Acrylic or vinyl can sometimes be used effectively for a single awning, but it should not be overused. Aluminum and plastic should be avoided altogether as awning materials. The traditional triangular awning with either pin or closed ends is strongly recommended for downtown storefronts. Simple edges should be kept loose rather than made rigid by interior piping. Rounded or bullnose awnings should be avoided as these do not complement historic character very well. The placement and size. The design of the storefront should dictate the placement and size of the awning. In a traditional storefront, awnings were sometimes placed above the transom area and sometimes just below. The awning should be located within the storefront or door opening itself so that it does not obscure other architectural details. Awnings that are wrong size or width for the storefront should not be used. Be careful that a too large awning does not overwhelm a small building. And then number eight, the last one. Generally speaking, fixed canopies should not be added to older downtown buildings unless historic photos or physical evidence indicates that a canopy was used historically. If a canopy is to be added, it should be a flat projecting canopy of simple wood or metal design.
Its installation should not cause damage to or removal of historic building materials. Wood shingled mansard type canopy should be avoided. And with that, you have two recommendations. You can review the application. After review of the application submitted and supporting documents, it appears that the proposed changes fit within the design guidelines. The design board recommends the issuance of a certificate of appropriateness with the following requirements. Property owner must complete construction of the awning within 6 months of the issuance of the certificate of appropriateness. Two, property owner must pull all required permits through the building department. And three, property owner must agree that any changes or modifications to the original approval must be reviewed by Bourbon Planning Department for compliance. Or two, it does not appear that the requested changes to the building will fit harmoniously within the district. Bourbon's design review board does not recommend the issuance of the certificate of appropriateness for 125 Second Street Northwest. And I'm done.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. I would like to make a few notes. Can we just amend right now on the floor the recommendations and change the address to 185 Second Street on both the denial and the approval?
Oh, okay.
Sorry, Holly, I didn't catch that before.
No, me neither.
And then you did get another packet with pictures of what currently Hi-Fi woodwork looks like now. They did install, as you can see, gooseneck lighting. We did look. There have not been certificates of appropriateness that we found on record that indicate that gooseneck lighting has been approved. However, there were permits pulled, listed in iWork, that our past building commissioner had approved for electrical work. I can't decipher if this was part of that, but they did pull permits for electrical work when it, Mr. Horvath did originally take over the building. You will also see current downtown buildings that have the metal awnings. Again, these are listed in historic inventory. These are for these specific buildings, and they're currently there. So if they needed to be replaced, we could approve that. However, they've been there, and they're there historically. So you have the old His Bakery, Collins Appliance Store, and then there's another one that used to be the current or the previous Magic Paw. Again, those are metal awnings that have been there.
For so they're grandfathered in.
Correct. If you have any questions, you're going to have to ask the staff because the applicant is not here.
Any questions or comments?
So as I see it, they're not going with this historical aluminum awning. They want to go with this newer steel.
Yeah.
Correct.
Right?
He's got the picture. He submitted the picture from, I forget where, a place in Hudson or something.
Well, London. Yep. Okay.
We've seen a problem with awnings. The fabric awnings.
Weather too.
Yeah, the weather is really hard on them. So, Stacy and I talked about this one too, because one of my concerns is that since we haven't had our guidelines updated for so long, I mean, they're the original guidelines from the mid 90s. So new materials come along and our guidelines don't really address any new materials that have come on the market to know what's appropriate and what's not appropriate. Our guidelines state very clearly that these kind of awnings are not what we want, but Here's a couple choices. We can put out an RFP to see what people would charge to update our guidelines. We could form a committee that would look at some communities that are close to ours that have done guidelines more recently. We are supposed to work within the framework of the Department of Interior's guidelines for design review boards for historic properties in downtowns or any place else a city determines to be historic. So we should work within those parameters, but like I said, our guidelines have not ever been reviewed since they've been written.
And we have to keep in mind that once we approve one, that opens us up to a domino effect of possible more of the same. I don't feel that these types of awnings are historic in nature, right? Again, there are definitely guidelines that are out there. I pulled one as recently as today from Dublin, Ohio, and I believe Dublin's was from 2017, or maybe sooner, newer than that. But I can tell you that under their rehab and under their guidelines, it says material should be consistent with the historic architecture of the building. Inappropriate designs and materials should be avoided, such as diagonal wood siding, vinyl or aluminum siding, mansard roofs, and fixed metal canopies. So this building literally hits every single one of the things that we should not be doing. So just keep this in mind. Like, I did look at other guidelines that are more current than ours, but they, I have yet to find, still allow the metal awnings if they're historically not attached to the buildings.
So the pictures that... I forget. Was it from Hudson? Do you remember? Anyway, the picture that he sent doesn't mean that it was from a place that had guidelines or that the canopy wasn't grandfathered in.
Or a historical building as well. This picture, we don't know if it is or
right,
not.
Right.
This definitely does not look like it. Just looks like it would be some type of new development that wanted to mimic like a walkable area. It doesn't look like it would be historic in nature.
So the problem with doing an RFP is knowing if we can afford it.
Yeah.
We could put together a committee of a few people to look at more recent guidelines, compare it. If we do that, then there's a process. We have to approve it. It goes to Planning Commission to approve it and recommend to City Council. So we can't do it on our own. It would be a process anyway. But do you want to see if, what it costs to review them?
Yeah, quite frankly, I was thinking about it today. And we could allocate X amount of dollars, whether it be 25 or 50. I did Google it today, and they said a new or an amended guideline could range anywhere between $15,000 to $100,000. I feel like our guidelines are pretty well established. We just need them updated to include maybe some newer type materials that maybe mimic the historic stuff.
And are still appropriate according to the Department of Interior.
So my recommendation is going to be, if approved, and I'm doing the budget right now, if approved, we would go out for an RFP to review.
What does that stand for?
The guidelines.
Request for proposal.
So we would put out like basically a public notice that says we're interested. We the city are interested in seeking qualified professionals to bid or give us an idea of what it would cost to redo our guidelines.
So can I ask a couple questions on the history of this building? Like, obviously, this building is not historical in nature. Like, it's been approved. This is more of a modern look than any historical building downtown. So, I don't know, like, you're not going to tell them to change all that front end, or can you?
We can't tell them to change it, but we can prevent them from continuing it to try to, like, get it back into some type of historic look with the brick.
Yeah, okay. My thought is that's never going to happen. So, and I don't know if you can have like a, lack of a better word, like an exception, but this building is way too far out of historic, and it says clearly it's not in the historical registry.
It's not a contributing building.
Yeah, it's not a contributing building.
I don't know. My thought is go with that metal to because it goes with the building and try to not let it go anywhere else because you don't. These other awnings are terrible. So, you know, you don't want to say do that. And then a canvas with this frontage is going to look bad. So your options are, hey, I don't know if we have an option, but I don't know if you can just limit it to this building. Like, is that a thing? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, you're basically setting standards. Mm-hmm. Well, we could table it until our next meeting and have the applicant here to discuss other possible options. Because, I mean, they do have newer canvas type awnings that are more streamlined. And they don't have like the wavy type of
slanted.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean I agree with that. Like you could do the ones that are tight, that are just straight. They're not the as long as it's I would think if it's black and it's straight and it doesn't look old, it fits the building. But to try to historically fit this building, I think it's too far gone.
This is a very strange building.
Yes.
Because it was three buildings. Yeah. I mean, that's why it's...
But even being three buildings, at one point, it's been made into one building that's very lopsided.
And not attractive. I'm sorry.
Right. So
yeah, it's strange.
Are they gonna put signage under the gooseneck lighting, or...
That hasn't been proposed.
Okay.
I do know that eventually the owners of Hi-Fi, they hope to create like a storefront and allow visitors to come in and possibly buy what he's creating there. But they're just not there yet. He does a lot of online sales and his stuff is beautiful. If you guys want to check it out, he does have an Etsy shop, but we're not there yet. He does have some window signage, which isn't really considered signage. Because it's right. Less than 40%, but...
With the building, I know that the siding is not what's in question here, but being that it already exists, I mean, eventually vinyl siding needs replaced, is that something that at that point would be out of compliance and they would have to switch, or because it already exists? Because kind of to go off of Jay's point, if it's too far gone and it's going to continue to exist and the siding is going to be replaced with more siding in 10 years... The metal awning really is not going to end up making much of a difference in the historical nature of the building, but if the vinyl siding is eventually going to not be allowed to be there,
the goal,
it still has potential to go back.
Right. You don't want to create a building that's completely out of line with the downtown and the direction you're creating it to go. I know Second Street has a lot less historic character, I feel like, than, you know, Tusk does. Our goal is always going to be to move it in the direction to make it more historic. So I don't know if that brick facade would ever become an option. There could be potential for CDBG grant dollars to, you know, get it back into compliance. If it is damaged, though, and they're replacing it as is, we would have to allow it. It would not have to go back before this board if it is a citation and it's damage, they could replace it. We could always make the recommendation, though, that, you know, they see what's behind it. I know a lot of the buildings that are selling now are pretty responsive property owners, and that's the route they're going, but I don't know.
I think an awning of some sort is going to make this look 100% better than just a blank wall. So I don't know how that works or how that... Again, not trying to open up a can of worms, but however, you don't want to do a round aluminum awning, but the straight canvas, I think, would be, if that's something they would consider, but I know that's what he's trying to avoid, so. I don't know. I need something, for sure.
It's always dangerous to allow an exception, even if it's a non-contributing building, just because you're right, other owners would say, well, you allowed that, and
right.
So so we have the option of approving it if that's what the majority of people want to do, or we could table it and do the RFP and see what we get. Table it for a couple months to give us time. Or how long do people usually get for RFPs? And then there's the whole process of doing the review.
Yeah, so I'm going to be honest, to complete the review is probably going to be upwards of a year.
Whoa.
Just because, I mean, they have to gather data, right? We have to go out for the RFP, so we advertise for 2 or 3 weeks, and we allow them time to submit their proposals, and we hold interviews, and we pick a firm, and then we have meetings, and we tell them what they want. So, I mean, it is a timely process. I truly don't know what is going to be easier on staff, whether it's, you know, trying to look at guidelines ourselves and update it like we have in the past with paint colors and signage, or if it's just doing a whole review. And I don't know if it's going to warrant an entire redo. It could just be a little review and says, hey, you're really missing this, this, and this. So I could send it out to a firm and have them give me some ideas of what it could look like.
So Lisa, did you...
Yeah, so what's the other option of the RFP for this committee? You said the committee, is that...
Well, no, I said we could form a committee of a smaller group of this body to look at other guidelines that have been created more recently, and just focusing on this, I wouldn't want to try
to... Does that cost money?
No.
The committee part
no.
of it?
It would be
us. It'd be time.
100 hours from you guys.
I think we should do that, me personally, because, like, going forward, someone else is going to want to honor you for their business. So we might as well have it set in stone with a historic layout for it, just in case someone else wants to have an awning.
And you would rather it be a committee made up of planning staff in this group, rather instead of going out for an RFP for a review.
Yeah, it's gonna cost money.
I mean, I'd love to have our guidelines reviewed, but I think in this case, and I'm not opposed to doing both, you know, putting up the RFP since it's going to take a while and putting a committee together because Horvath is going to want to know an answer.
So why don't we table it until next month and then have Mr. Horvath and or the hi-fi tenants here? And then we can ask those questions if he's willing to look at a different route or wait until we have substantial evidence to vote on it.
Okay.
Thoughts?
Somebody, Willie?
Yes, can I put a motion on the floor?
For what?
To table it due to concerns, or whatever the proper wording would be.
Yeah, okay. We would have to table it to an actual meeting date. We can't just table it indefinitely. We have to table it to a meeting.
Real quick. Well, if the end result's going to be you're not going to do a metal roof, why would you table it? Just deny it now and let them resubmit, right?
Well, if they resubmit, they have to reapply. We have to do new notices. It charges them an extra $150 if we deny it.
Oh.
If we table it, then we can bring them in and we can have the discussion of these could be options. What do you prefer?
All right. I guess
we should go with the option. I'll rephrase that. You know,
Willie's making a motion to table this till the February meeting to try to have Mr. Horvath and maybe people from the woodworking place in. And in the meanwhile, we'll try to investigate.
I agree with that. You let it know you have to, once we deny it, then you have to start all over and read another 150.
And it's expensive.
Yeah,
I mean, that's...
It
is. And no one's here to complain, to say don't let them do it, so... rather than doing all that again.
Yeah. Right.
Okay. Do I have a second for Willie's motion?
I did.
Jay. Okay. Thanks. And roll call vote, please.
Susan?
Yes.
Jalise?
Yes.
Jill?
Yes.
Willie?
Yes.
Ryan?
Yes.
Jason?
Yes.
Great. Okay. So do we want to talk about a committee to start looking at stuff?
I was gonna say that, yeah.
Can you guys give me until next month at the meeting, and then I can present you with
hard costs?
No.
With
okay.
a review or?
No.
Emily?
You have a quick question.
Okay.
So is the question that it's a metal awning and the design, or just that it's a metal awning?
It's a metal awnings are no no.
Right, the material. Okay.
They're not historic in nature.
Right. I was going to suggest something, but it's still metal.
So however, the ones that are across the street, the old ones, if he said, I want to do that, do we have to approve that since it's already there and established?
Why are you asking that question?
That's a question.
But so technically, it's not historic to that building, so we could still deny it,
okay.
right? So this is where we are. So it's not, there wasn't original, that we know of, there wasn't an original awning on that building.
So just to clarify, it's not metal or design, it's just that. Black material, right?
No, it's metal. Solid metal.
Okay.
It's there's supposed to be the framed fabric canopies.
If it's an additional awning, yes, that's what they're supposed to be made of.
Joe,
did that siding that they put on the old roundabout building have to be approved?
It was probably on there before. The same viewport.
It was on there before I came on.
Yeah.
That was a long time ago.
It's not always been on there because I remember. And I thought, oh, that's terrible.
I know.
It was probably done probably before or right after the design probably before the design guidelines were even approved.
It's a shame.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. I mean, we deal with the same thing with Tough Bodies, right? Tough Bodies, they have, I don't know, 2 or 3 buildings, and it's that. You know, siding that is. But I think Missy is working with a gentleman now who has a property on the corner or on Second Street. I think that's where the spire is, and he's working on doing some facade work. And I believe he's getting rid of the I don't know what you call that type of plastic shingling. Yeah, scallop is the correct one.
Maybe we should look into siding as well, if that's something we want to do businesses downtown, so that it fits into the historic preservation.
Yeah, it's already not anything they're supposed to do.
Yeah, I don't think so. I mean, with historic buildings, right? I mean, you're historically dating your buildings when they were built. So siding was not a thing back then. They were the brick facades with, you know, the transom windows. So. I don't think that we would ever want to allow siding because that takes away from a lot of the character of the buildings.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. So we have a plan.
We have a plan.
Any other questions about that before we move on? Any old business? Any old business?
I don't think we have any old business.
Okay. Anything else? Discussion, work session, materials?
Yeah, so you guys were also handed out the 2026 Design Review Board member packet. You guys want to review your information, make sure it's correct.
Yeah.
And let us know if it's not. You will see that Emily Beck, our council liaison, has been added to the contact. Which, Emily, I'm super excited that she's part of Design Review Board now because not only is she, you know, council person for this ward, she's got a building downtown or an office downtown, so she's truly invested in this part, so we're excited to have her.
Yes, welcome.
If you guys have any questions for me, I'm more than happy to answer them, but we don't have anything else before you.
Okay. Do I have a motion for adjournment?
I'll make the motion.
Thank you, Ryan. A second?
I'll second.
Thank you, Jay. And
I go. Susan?
Yes.
Jalise?
Yes.
Jill?
Yes.
Willie?
Mm-hmm.
Ryan?
He's already out the door.
Yes.
Great. Thank you all for being here.
Thank you.
Hey,
Good job, Emily. Hey, Willie, is this your water?
Yes.
Do you want me to look for anything about canopies? And or can you get the Wadsworth guidelines? She said they were.
I did. And I printed them. And they're like, they're very generic. There's not a lot of shit. Which I was
right. I like your outfit.
Thank you. I love the design, like the explanations of ours.
Bye, guys.
And everything. So I honestly think it's just, I think we'll be able to just update them and do like a review. Because I think maybe some places Wadsworth will say like where you should attach stuff, like in the mortar and not actually in the drink. So I don't think ours is or, you know, stuff like that. But I don't think the material type has changed very much. It's just more so getting people to.
Yeah. Thank heaven I don't use real bad.
You want this?